Please find again the book of Philippians, chapter 4, the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And today I want to begin a series of messages on this vital, vital matter of prayer. And please, whenever I say vital, vital matter of prayer, don't think that I'm exaggerating, because I do believe that prayer is just exactly as I have described it. I believe that it is vital. I can't tell you how long this series will take, but that may depend on your response to the series. I have, down through the years, begun a series of messages and found a few messages into the series that I had a dud on my hands because no one seemed to be responding, and so I have on occasions put a series to an early death. That may be the case with this series, I don't know. But we will at least begin talking about this matter of prayer. I've been thinking a lot in the last few weeks about our church and about her ministry. I wonder if I will surprise you if I say that I believe the way forward for Parkview Baptist Church is on her knees. I believe the way forward for Parkview Church is on her knees. And I'm going to call all of this church family to prayer. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, I already pray for this church. Good for you. But I want to call you to occupy a higher level of prayer. I think you would admit, wouldn't you, that you could probably go farther in prayer than you are currently going. I think you would probably admit that you can occupy a higher level than you are currently occupying. So if you're not praying much, I want to enlist you in the wonderful cause of prayer. And if you are praying, I want to enlist you in praying more and in praying better. Now, I said a while ago that the way forward for Parkview Church is on her knees. I believe this is the key to our success in the future as a church, is prayer. Some of you will be inclined to disagree with that. Some of you will say, well, now, Pastor, if this church down the road here, they're just doing splendidly. And they've got this program and this program, and the way forward is through having the programs that people like today. Others will say, well, we've got to have more promotion of what we're doing. And there's a place for programs. We have them. And there's certainly a place for promotions. Yes, we do that. And some of you might be saying, well, the churches that seem to be doing well today are churches that have, well, they have in the pulpit a real personality. Somebody that's funny, somebody that's entertaining, someone that can kind of just keep people sitting on the edges of their seats. Well, I plead guilty to being not the most entertaining and the most funny personality that you could have in a pulpit. But ladies and gentlemen, I just call you to think about what the Word of God says about prayer. And I'm going to be sharing this morning some of that, what the Word of God has to say about prayer. And as I read the Word of God, I do not find the Bible saying, now if you want your church to grow, you must have entertaining programs. You must have certain kinds of promotions. I rather find the Word of God saying something along these lines, that the Lord's work is a spiritual work and it has to be done in a spiritual way. And so we have the Bible putting before us this matter of prayer. And I'm already anticipating a little bit of what I want to say later on. So I'm here today to talk with you about the importance of prayer. This matter has been weighing on my mind and heart for the last several weeks, but I think it came more forcefully home to my heart a few days ago when I picked up a book by a Scottish preacher, Eric Alexander, is now retired from the pastorate, and began to read what Brother Alexander had to say about this matter of prayer. And one thing that immediately caught my eye was this statement. He said, we should not pray for the work. We should understand that prayer is the work. We should not pray for the work of the church. He said, we should understand that prayer is the work of the church. That's a riveting statement, isn't it? And that caused me to think about what Jesus said. You remember when he drove the money changers out of the temple, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. Interesting, isn't it? Now, I believe in preaching, and I can show you from the Word of God that preaching is important in the life of the church. I don't apologize for preaching. But it's interesting that Jesus did not say, my house is a house of preaching. He said, it's a house of prayer. He didn't say, by the way, it's a house of promotion. He said, it's a house of prayer. He didn't say, it's a house of programs with lots of spit and polish and shine. He said, it's a house of prayer. I am asking you to join with me in making Parkview more than it has ever been before. A house of prayer. This statement from Jim Cimbala caught my eye back many years ago. Jim Cimbala was pastoring a dying and declining church in Brooklyn. It's now one of the great churches in the land. They had just a handful of people. It looked as if it was going to go under. And Jim Cimbala led those people to pray. And the statement that he made that so arrested my attention was this. He said, most Christians are more concerned about prayer in school than they are about prayer in church. And this has been a hot-button issue the last several years in our society and among Christians, prayer in school. But don't you agree that he has a point whenever he says that most of us are more concerned about prayer in school than we are about prayer in church? Is Parkview a house of prayer? Can we make it more a house of prayer? Will you join with me in committing yourself to do prayer as the work of the church? The work of the church. You remember what the apostles said there in Acts chapter 6 when they found themselves dealing with the administrative matters of the church, dealing so much with those administrative matters that they could not really handle everything. And they said, look out from among you seven men, and we will appoint those seven men over the administrative matters of the church. Specifically, they were talking about the daily provision of food for the widows. But here's what they said, the apostles. We will give ourselves to the Word of God and to prayer. Now, we begin today by just reminding ourselves, and this is something you already know, but it's good to be reminded, isn't it? We begin today by reminding ourselves of the importance of prayer, the importance of prayer. And I could take all the time that I have today and all the time that is available to me for the next several Sundays just to talk about the importance of prayer. This is not going to be exhaustive when I talk to you about the importance of prayer. I'm just going to have to be content to kind of glide over the surface, but I hope that I will be able to say enough to either convince you or to re-convince you of the importance of prayer. I want to say in the first place, prayer is important because of what it is. What it is. You and I need to stop and think about what we do when we pray. Prayer, my friends, is not just mouthing words. It's not just repeating phrases that we heard people pray when we were growing up in our church back home somewhere. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for drawing near to God with their lips while their hearts were far away. And so many of us, this is what prayers become. It's just a matter of repeating a few phrases that we have learned. We heard other people use these phrases and they sounded good, and so we picked them up and started using them ourselves. But that's all there. We're just saying phrases. We're just saying words. That's not what prayer is. It's not just repeating words. It's not just saying words. Let me give you a definition of prayer. This is my definition, okay? You have my permission to use it if you would like, but you must give me credit, okay? My definition of prayer. Here it is. It's coming to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Two, express adoration, confession, and thanksgiving to God, and to make our requests known to Him. That's my definition of prayer. Don't you like it? It's a good definition. I like to get affirmation when I can. Here it is again. It's coming to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. By the way, I'm not willing to give that part up, through Jesus Christ the Son. I know that many Christians today seem to be embarrassed about praying in the name of Jesus. Let's not give it up, okay, praying in the name of Jesus. It's coming to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit to express adoration, confession, and thanksgiving to God, and to make our request known to Him. That's prayer. And looking there at Philippians chapter 4, you will see some of the things that I have incorporated in my definition identified there in verse 6, where Paul says, but in everything by prayer. By the way, that might tell you something about how Paul regarded prayer. He says, in everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. That tells you something about the importance of it, doesn't it? And then he identifies these elements. He says, supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And there are some of the elements that I have included in my definition. The other elements that I have included you can find in other scriptures. But if we will stop and think about what prayer is, we will immediately be reminded of the importance of it. Coming to God, can you imagine? Speaking words on earth, words now from our hearts, speaking words on earth and being heard in heaven. Being heard in heaven. I sometimes think that the most important element in praying is to stop and think before you pray about what you're doing. Speaking words on earth, not just mouthing them, muttering empty words, but words from the heart. Speaking words on earth and being heard in heaven. It's staggering to think about God actually hearing the prayers of His people. I can go further. God not only hears the prayers of His people, He prizes them. God loves the prayers of His people. I've talked to you about this before. I find over in the book of Revelation chapter 4 where the prayers of God's people are kept. God keeps them. And they're kept in the book of Revelation talks about them being kept in bowls. God has His bowls in heaven. My mother used to have some bowls, and she kept little mementos that meant so much to her in those bowls. And we find the book of Revelation saying, God keeps the prayers of His people in bowls. They're so precious to Him. I tell you, whenever you get home to heaven, you'll find that your prayers have gone there before you. And God has not lost a one of them. God prizes the prayers of His people. So be reminded of the importance of prayer just by thinking about what prayer is. Talking to God. Speaking on earth and being heard in heaven. What a blessed, blessed privilege it is to speak on earth and to be heard in heaven. Now, most of us would be thrilled down to the tips of our toes if we could talk to somebody that we consider to be a celebrity. Now, your list of celebrities is probably different than mine. Now, I don't have much use for most of those whom our society considers celebrities. My list of celebrities tend to be preachers. I had, by the way, did you know this? I had a few years ago the blessed experience of actually talking to Francis Schaeffer on the telephone. Dr. Schaeffer was supposed to do a series of lectures at Covenant Seminary in St. Louis, and I called to find out some information about the lectures, and this kind receptionist said, well, sir, you'll have to call this number. And so I took the number down. I called it. The lady answered. I said, ma'am, I've called to get some information about the lectures of Dr. Schaeffer over at Covenant Seminary. And she said, well, he's sitting right here. Why don't you talk to him about it? And my goodness, that's the hand that held the phone that talked to Dr. Schaeffer, that I talked to Dr. Schaeffer on. But when I pray, I have the ear of someone far more important than anybody on this earth Are you beginning to understand the importance of prayer? You have the ear of God. If you speak to him from your heart, words of adoration, words of confession, words of thanksgiving, and words of supplication, making your requests known to God. Now, here's the second thing that makes prayer so vitally important. It's prominently displayed in the Scriptures. Prominently displayed in the Scriptures. I wonder if I were to ask you to give the number of prayers in the Bible, the number of recorded prayers. I wonder if any of you could come close to the number. What would you say? How many prayers are there in the Bible? 50? Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? 75? 100? You're not even close. There are 650 prayers in the Bible. Now, does that make you agree with my statement that prayer is prominently displayed in the Bible? 650 prayers recorded in the Bible. Now, some of you are saying, well, Pastor, I don't think you're right about that. You go home and count, okay? That's your homework. 650 prayers in the Bible. And if I've missed it, well, you come back. That's going to take you all afternoon, but you come back. Give me the correct number tonight, okay? And Scripture not only prominently displays prayer by the number of prayers that it includes, but it also prominently displays prayer by talking about the prayer lives of its greatest heroes. I have, from this pulpit several times, identified three men in the Old Testament who tower above the other men, not to in any way denigrate or diminish the other men. But I think you will agree with me that three men receive more attention, maybe that's the better way to put it, in the Old Testament than any other men. Abraham, Moses, and David. Now, my friends, you look at the life of Abraham and you'll find that Abraham was a man of prayer. You remember him coming into the land of Canaan after God said, go to a land that I'll show you, and Abraham built an altar there. And he worshiped the Lord. And you, do you remember him praying over Sodom? My goodness, how he prayed. How he prayed. And then there's Moses. Are you aware that Moses built a tent of meeting? A tent of meeting. This is not the tabernacle now. This is the tent of meeting. The two are different. And that tent of meeting was for the express purpose of prayer. Maybe that was the beginning of the prayer meeting, you suppose. Moses was a man of prayer. And we can find in the Old Testament scriptures some of the prayers that Moses offered. Well, David also was a man of prayer. David, as you know, wrote most of the Psalms. How many Psalms are there that have to be characterized or classified as prayers? Many of them. And many of these are David's prayers. David's prayers. Then you get over into the New Testament, and other than the Lord Jesus, there's one man who stands head and shoulders above all the rest, at least in terms of the amount of attention paid to him. That's the Apostle Paul. And Paul was a man of prayer, a man of prayer. We may have occasion in this series to just notice a prayer or two that Paul actually prayed. I'm just trying to show you the importance of prayer. You will realize it's important if you stop to think about what it is. Speaking on earth from your heart and being heard in heaven. What a privilege. You'll realize it's important, its importance, if you understand that it is prominently displayed in the Old Testament. Now, here's a third thing. It is particularly displayed in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I'm always surprised whenever I talk about Jesus being a man of prayer. Because it would seem, would it not, that if anyone did not need to pray, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus prayed. This is an emphasis that we find especially in Luke's gospel. I've talked to you about this on previous occasions. Luke especially emphasizes the prayer life of Jesus. Let me just give you some references. There's Luke 5:16. Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. This is Jesus. And Luke 9:28. It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Luke 11:1. And it came to pass as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place. And Luke 22:41. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and prayed. And so the Lord Jesus was a man of prayer. And here's how I reason. If Jesus, being God in human flesh, felt it necessary to pray, how much more should I feel it necessary to pray? I mean, I'm not in the category of Jesus. And if Jesus, the pure, perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God, God in human flesh, not only felt it necessary to pray, but felt it necessary to give such prominence to prayer in his life, how much more should I, who am nowhere near Jesus, feel it necessary to pray? And so we have put three things in place here. We're talking about the importance of prayer. It's important because of what prayer is. You don't need me to go over that again, do you? It's important because it's prominently displayed in Scripture. It's important because it's particularly displayed in the life of the Lord Jesus. Prayer is, in the fourth place, important because it is expressly commanded in Scripture. It's expressly commanded in Scripture. The Bible tells us to pray. Now, some people will fuss about prayer, and they will say, well, you know, if God already knows what we want, why do we need to ask? Would you like the answer to that? Somebody's been asking that for years. If God already knows what we want, why do we need to ask? Are you ready for the answer, finally, after all these years? Here it is. Because he wants you to. Okay? God wants you to ask. God wants you to pray. Yes, even though he knows before you ever open your mouth what you've got on your mind, what you've got in your heart, he wants you to pray. Somebody will say, how do we know he wants us to pray? He has told us. He has told us. He's told us in his word. I think of Luke chapter 18, where we're told, where Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's interesting. I think Jesus must have been thinking about me when he said that, because my great tendency when it comes to praying is to faint. You know what faint is? To faint is to get weary. It's to falter. It's to waver. And oh, how easy it is for me to get faint in my praying. Anybody else here want to admit to that problem? Do you get faint in your praying? Do you falter sometimes? Do you get weak in your praying? Get weary in your praying? I do. Wonder if I will surprise you if I say to you that everything in the Christian life is easier for me than prayer. Everything else the Bible requires me to do is easier for me. Now, don't go out here and misrepresent what I said. Don't go out here and say, well, the pastor says now he has mastered every part of the Christian life except prayer. No, I haven't mastered every part of it, but every part that I'm required to master is easier for me than prayer. I have to tell you why I think prayer is so hard. I think it's hard because I think the devil understands better than you and I do the importance of it, and I think that he fights us when we pray. Do you have that feeling that the devil fights you? I can use a phrase the old Puritans used to use. The old Puritans used to say, when you pray, the devil fetches strength against you. That's how they put it. He fetches strength against you. He musters all of his strength to oppose you because the devil knows the importance of prayer. I may surprise some of you. I want to tell you that the devil is not afraid of our programs. He's not afraid of our promotions. He's laughing at churches today and pastors who think that the way to reach a lost and dying world is by entertaining people into the kingdom. The devil is having a good laugh over that. You're not going to save people by entertaining them into the kingdom. But my friends, the devil fears the prayers of God's people because in prayer we come to the end of ourselves and we cast ourselves completely upon the all-sufficient strength of Almighty God. Well, I'm just talking about how prayer is expressly commanded in Scripture. Jesus said men ought always to pray, not to faint. Paul, over in his first letter to Timothy, there in the second chapter, begins a discussion of prayer by saying, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And that phrase, I exhort first of all, means I exhort as the matter of first importance, as the matter of priority. I exhort that you pray, he says. And so Scripture expressly commands that we pray. Jesus commanded it. Paul commanded it. Right there in the book of Colossians, we noticed in Philippians where Paul says, In everything by prayer, let your requests be made known to God. But in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer. That sounds like a command to me. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now I've left myself just a moment or two to say something about another reason, and that is the times demand that we pray. The times demand that we pray. Here we notice in 1 Timothy where Paul says to Timothy, I exhort as a matter of first importance that you pray. Timothy was really in a tough spot. He was in Ephesus. He was pastor of that church. He had a very timid and shy disposition. And he was in a city that was filled with idolatry. He had false teachers in his church. And his leadership was being questioned and disputed. And here it's interesting what Paul says to him. Paul says, Timothy, you're really up against it. Now, what I want you to do is appoint a committee. What I want you to do is hire a consultant. No, that sounds like the modern-day church, doesn't it? What Paul said is, Timothy, I want you to pray. In the midst of your challenges, in the midst of your trials, pray. And may I say that we here in America are facing a more challenging time than has been faced by this country at any time, I believe, during our lives. And while some are saying, well, the work of the church today is to be trendy, some are saying, the work of the church is to give people what they want. I want to tell you that the work of the church, as I said at the outset, is to pray. To pray. May God be pleased to put upon this church a spirit of prayer. And we will not have that spirit of prayer if we do not see the importance of prayer. And one of the things that makes prayer so vitally important is the nature of these times in which we live. It's a godless time of immorality and idolatry in which Christianity is hated today. And the way forward is prayer. And God's people said, let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to remind ourselves of the importance of prayer. And Father, we know something about the deceptive and frail nature of our hearts. And we'll sit here and nod in agreement and say, yes, I believe in the importance of prayer. And then we'll go out and fail to pray. Lord, we need your help even to pray. And so maybe the first thing we need to pray, Lord, is for your help. Help us, O God, to pray. May there be a new spirit of prayer here at Parkview Church. May there be a new commitment to prayer. Father, would you start those praying who haven't been praying as they should? And would you carry those who have been praying to a whole new level of prayer? And Father, if there's one in our midst today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, help that person to know that there's always one prayer that is heard in heaven. And that's the sincere prayer of repentance in which one turns from his sins and trusts in Christ. And Lord, Lord of grace, would you bring that person who's apart from Christ to that point of praying today, praying to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.